Take your Bibles this morning. You ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Making our way through 2 Corinthians. Slowly but surely. We're going to run the race with patience this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll never forget. We're going to focus on verse 7. But I'll never forget the day that the Lord blessed me with seeing 1 Corinthians 4:7 in the light of another place in the Bible. I'd heard this passage before. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And I'd heard that before, just, you know, over the years, growing up in church and so on. But I never really, you know, I kind of got it. But it's just one of those things you hear it in preaching and just kind of goes over your head and you don't think much about it. And I was just studying, reading, going to different places, and God had me on a little trail. And when you learn verses in the past, and you read places in your Bible, if you don't understand it right then, don't give up. Don't say, well, I don't understand this. That's kind of silly. I'm not going to pay attention to that. Don't give up. Because what God will do is He just gave you a piece to a puzzle, is what He did. And it may not look like much when you're looking just at that one piece. But you'll study some more in the Bible, and all of a sudden God give you another big chunk of it. And now you can start seeing things. You start seeing just how amazing this whole Bible is. Consider the different parts of your body. And they all have a different function. They all have a different use. They all have a different reason for being there. They're designed a little different. But it's all the same genetic code that makes up the various parts of my body. And that's this Bible. It is a genetic code of the life of a Christian. It is us. It is who we are. And there are places in this Bible that sometimes we don't understand, but they're necessary. They have to be there. And we may not ever see why. I'm not ever going to get everything out of this Bible that should be gotten out of it in this lifetime. There's no way it's possible. But what I do get out of it, it makes me hungry for more. It makes me thirsty for more. Did I lose my signal? I lost my signal. I don't want to lose my signal. Very important. So bear with me just a minute here. Let's see here. Do this. Let's see if we have it. Ah! We do. Okay. Now I'm going to start this all over again. That. Yeah, we'll try it like this. 1 Corinthians 4. There we go. 1 Corinthians 4, 7. Let's start at verse 1 and move our way down. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Don't hide the gospel from people. Amen? Don't hide it. Let them give it to them. Give it to them in love, but give it to them. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's Genesis 1, okay, and different places in the Bible, but that's where it primarily is. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that, to me, I mean, that's Matthew 17. That's the transfiguration. That's, I think, Revelation 10. Face shining like the sun. So we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was right on when He said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. He was dead on with that, all right? So now, verse 7, and I'm just going to kind of pass it around the room here, and maybe you've got to comment on it. But verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So I'm going to ask you this morning, just kind of go around the room if anybody wants to answer. What do you think this is talking about when he talks about the treasure, number one, and number two, what are the earthen vessels? So has anybody got a comment on that? Anybody just got something to say about it? Or you've got your little theory, or this is what you had heard before? Who wants to answer up? Go ahead, Brother George. Amen. That's pretty good. Anybody got anything else? That was pretty well said. Okay, all right, well, let's be dismissed. Because that's really all I've got to say about it. Well, I'm going to add a couple things here, okay? He said that the treasure is the Word of God. Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I've loved all my life. I've loved mysteries and riddles and puzzles. And if I know two people have a secret, I'm not happy until I know what it is. I mean, that's just my nature. And I've always just looked into things, wanting to know what secrets are, wanting to know what mysteries are. Treasure hunts always fascinated me. And God, years ago, put me on a treasure hunt. And I wasn't sure what I was looking for, but over time it became manifest, it became known. I was looking for treasures out of the Word of God. I was looking for things, okay? And I find them, okay? I find them. I find a little here and I find a little there. But that's the blessing of the Christian life, is that we find all these treasures in the Word of God. I want us to take our Bibles and go to Deuteronomy 28. And we're just going to kind of look at what this treasure is. I appreciate Brother George. He said the treasure is the Word of God. We all accept that, okay? But let's accept it with reason. Let's have a reason why we accept it. You believe a certain thing, amen, praise the Lord. If you can back it up with Scripture, then you're settled, amen? People can question you. Why do you say it this way? Why do you think this is it? If you can back it up with Scripture, then you'll never be ashamed. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, "The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure," and then he says, "the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." And notice here in Deuteronomy 28, he's referring to his good treasure as the rain that comes down from heaven. Now, I want you to notice the language of your Bible. Think about where rain comes from. Does rain come up, shooting up out of the ground? Okay? Does the wind pick up rain droplets and throw them onto the land? Well, within maybe 50 yards of the ocean or whatever. But that's not how we get it either. God gives us this picture. It's very simple, but it's very profound. Rain comes from the sky. Rain comes from heaven. And He wants you to understand that. It's a very simple idea. But then He goes on in Deuteronomy 32. He tells you what this rain really is. He said, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." This word that we have, the things that we believe, the things that we have patterned our life after, the Word of God, has come down to us usually right on time, right in season. Too much rain through the growing season's not good. Too little rain through the growing season's not good. God blesses His people with the just amount and the right amount of rain and blessing from us. As I said earlier, I'm not going to get everything there is to know from this Bible in my lifetime. And years ago, I asked for it. God, give me everything. And God didn't, and I'm glad He didn't. Because now that I know what I was asking for, the flood would have killed me, okay? I mean, it would have overran me, all right? But He gives us His Word now coming down from heaven. This Bible did not come laterally from the hands of men. Its origin is heaven. He sends His Word from heaven just like rain comes down from heaven. And get this picture. Where did Christ come from? He didn't come up out of a pit. He wasn't passed around from person to person. He came down from heaven. Christ is the fruition of His doctrine, His Word coming down in season as the gentle rain upon us and blesses us. So God's treasure, He says, is the heaven to give rain, But then he says, his doctrine shall drop as a rain. So let's say that you're searching for something in the Scripture. You've got a question. Somebody tried to trip you up with some kind of strange doctrine. Or somebody has gone after something that you've never heard of, and they're trying to convince you of it, and it doesn't sound right, but you don't know what's true and what's not true. And so you go to the Lord and say, God, this man told me this, or this woman told me this, or I read this on Facebook, or I saw this on the internet. God, I don't know if that's true or not. God, would you show me from your word whether or not this is true? And then all of a sudden now, you start going on a hunt. Going on a treasure hunt. I do this a lot. Going on a hunt through the Bible, trying to find out what's going on. And then all of a sudden now, you'll land upon a verse. Boom. And it'll just make all the sense in the world. And right then and there, you found the treasure, the doctrine. You found the teaching. You found why what God was leading you to was right and why what this person said was absolutely wrong. And you've got verses now to show it. And believe it or not, there's enough people in this world that you can give them 2, 3, 5, or a dozen verses of Scripture that contradict everything they say and they don't believe you. And I've had people say, Pastor, I need the words to give to people so I can change their mind. And I would say, if you give them Bible verses, if God won't change their mind, who are you? If God can't fix somebody's ignorance, then, you know, with the Word, what have you got to say about it? How much smarter are you than God? And I just tell you, just give them Scripture, and if they don't believe that, maybe it's just not time yet. Maybe it's not time. Okay? Because I had a guy, a friend of mine, just saw him yesterday. I had a friend of mine who was come to me with this King James Bible. And he was telling me, man, you got to believe it. And I would tell him, look, I've been to Bible college. I know all the arguments. I know there's no original manuscripts. So you're telling me that this matches the originals. And I was told others, and I'm telling you there's no originals. So how in the world can we match what doesn't exist? And I was using that as the argument. It wasn't time yet. But one day, the Holy Spirit leading me through just thoughts and reasoning with me in my mind, verses of Scripture and things that were going on. And all of a sudden, I got to the point and I found that treasure. This Bible's right. It's right 100% of the time. And I did not argue. I did not say to God, I need proof before I believe it. I just believed it. And I called him on the phone right then. And I said, all I said was, I'm there. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. Okay? So don't give up on people, because sometimes it takes a season to get there. Okay? Like it did me. And if you look in your life, God brought you through seasons to get you to where you are now. Amen? I mean, that's just the truth of the Scriptures. But anyway, if God won't convince them, you're not going to be able to convince them either. Jeremiah 10, verse 13, the Bible says, when he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. And he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his what? I want you to look at that now and think of it. The wind is brought out of where? His treasures. Everybody say, his treasures. Where's the wind come from? His treasures. What is the wind a picture of? The Holy Spirit. Where is it going to come from? His treasure. Where is His treasure? His doctrine. His words. When the Lord uttereth His voice. When God speaks, it thunders. And rain falls everywhere. And the wind blows. See, that's what happens when God speaks. And what if you ask God to make it stop? It's God's voice again. Peace. Be still. And it stops at the command and the utterance of His voice. Listen, that book has got power in it. It has got power in this book. This book will drive away devils who are fierce and mean and cruel. It will drive them away because they cannot handle the voice of Almighty God. They can't handle it. Amen? What's a good treasure hunt so far? Amen? I like it. Now, in Deuteronomy 32, watch this now. Because this is... Boy, this is getting big, all right? He said in Deuteronomy 32, let's go back, let's turn there, and let's get the context of it. I don't have it up on the screen. I'm going to make you look it up. Deuteronomy 32. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. If you've got Joshua and Judges, you've gone too far. Page 249. If you're using a Thompson chain reference, page 249. Look at verse. Actually, I lied. It's on 250. I had to turn the page here. Let's get the context of what he's talking about here. Let's go back to verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, capital R, and the Lord had shut them up. And he said, for their rock is not as our rock, capital R. Even our enemies themselves being judges. So here's, I want you to get this. He's teaching you about two rocks. One is the capital R rock, and one is the little rock. Okay? Little R. And that means something. The big R rock is what Paul referred to in 1 Corinthians 10. That rock that followed them was Christ. That's their rock. That's my rock. Amen? The rock of my salvation. It's the foundation of who I am and what I believe and what I stand for and what my marriage is built on and what this church is built on. That is our rock. But he said their rock is not like our rock. If you chase this down through the Scripture, study rocks, study stones. A stone cut without hands goes and destroys the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Okay? But a stone cut with man's hands does not represent ever, it never represents Jesus Christ. If a man's hands have touched it, it is not Christ. It is the work of man. It is an idol. Because they take stone, marble, or whatever, and they chisel out a God that suits their lusts. A God that will let them do what they want to do. It's a false God. And so a stone that has been chiseled with man's hands is like a picture of the Antichrist. But it's not our rock. Masonry has a theme in it called the rough and the smooth ashlar. Ashlar is a stone. And in masonry, the rough stone is you before you come to the light of masonry. The smooth stone is you have applied the workman's tools to make this stone perfect and square and smooth. And what it's teaching you is that you, by your works and by your deeds, will carve out a perfect man. That's against the Scriptures. It's not the gospel. Amen? Christ did not show up to teach us how we could save ourselves. He did not die on the cross to show us, if you die on the cross, then you can save yourself. That's not what He did. Our atonement and our salvation and our grace and God's mercy on us is done by Christ alone for all mankind. Amen? To those who believe. So it's not what we do and how we perform. So that's the difference in the rocks right there. Their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom. Now we got a vine. If you go to John 15, here's Jesus saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So we have two vines now. We have the vine of Christ. We have the vine of Sodom. The vine of Christ produces the fruit of righteousness. What does the vine of Sodom produce? Well, that's easy, isn't it? It produces corruption. It produces a 17-year-old boy who goes to school wearing a dress and a wig, telling everybody that he is a girl when genetically he's not. And the more we learn about this boy, he likes to be on camera with his wig and his dress on, acting sweet. They put him on this female Jezebel talk show called The View. They ought to call it The Five Jezebels. Okay? Whoopi Goldberg and all these liberal women up there. He goes on The View and he's acting so innocent and so sweet. I just want what everybody else wants. And he's got everybody feeling sorry for him. And what's being known about this kid is that he is perverted. Not just the fact that he wears a dress and a wig. His nature is very, very lascivious and very wicked. Okay? He's been drinking from the vine of Sodom. He even puts it on Facebook. I don't believe that Bible junk. But if they use it against me, I'm going to pull out that verse that says, "Judge not." Isn't that something? Don't believe the Bible, but if you bring it up, he's going to try to hit you with it. He's going to try to use it against you. Bring it on. Amen. You know the Bible so well, bring it on. But anyway, his vine is the vine of Sodom. It's not the vine of Christ. That sacrilegious priest that came to that gathering out there, I got him on video, telling Jesus loves Lila. Jesus says it's okay for him to do what he's doing. That man has been drinking from the wrong vine.
Amen.
The vine of Sodom. Okay? So he said, their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. It's the difference between drinking vinegar and drinking sweet new wine. Okay? It's the corruption that exists in vinegar. I'm told, I don't know how to make vinegar, but I'm told that vinegar is wine that's gone bad. Okay, it's gone. Somebody help me out here. Where's my winemakers? Good, that was a test, by the way. You all pass. Okay. But anyway, vinegar is bitter. I don't like vinegar. I hate it. I don't like salad dressing with too much vinegar in it. I just don't like that taste. I don't go around drinking vinegar. My wife tries to get me to drink that Bragg's apple cider vinegar with the mother. And I hate it. I don't like it. Okay? Give me some sweet grape juice. Man, I love that stuff. Amen? So that's the difference right there. He said their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons. You know what that is? Doctrines of devils.
Amen.
And the cruel venom of asps. So watch this now. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Now I'm going to give you my little theory about what I think this verse represents. Okay? We're seeing two rocks and two vines and two clusters. Christ is the true vine. His wine is sweet. And it's good. Amen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall bring forth much fruit. But their wine is... Christ's wine will make you live. It will give you life. It will cheer God and man. All right? Their wine will make you bitter. Death is bitter. Okay? Sin, in the end, is always bitter. Always. Okay? No one ever lives a fulfilled life of sin. No one does. No one is ever satisfied with how much sin they committed. They always find the bitterness at the end of it. Always. Okay? So, and then he says, now, since he's telling you about two rocks and two vines, to me, that represents Christ and Antichrist. They're opposite. So here's what I think. He said, "Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures?" We already know what the treasure is. The treasure is this word here, this book. I believe that the true identity of the man of sin, the son of perdition, is sealed up in this book. It's here.
Amen.
And one of these days we'll go, "Oh, there it is." Okay? It's in here in plain English. Okay? But it's sealed right now. That wicked has not been revealed yet. That's what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians. It has not been revealed yet. It's sealed up among the treasures of God. So what's going to happen one of these days? God the Father is going to give Jesus this book with seven seals on it. Okay? You pay attention to this. This is where we're going, but obviously we're not going to get there today. He's got a book with seven seals on it. He gives it to his son. The first thing his son does is he's loosing the seals so he can open the book. I think then that man of sin will be revealed.
Amen.
He's been sealed up among these treasures here. And one of these days, it's going to be manifest who he is. My belief is, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, is that they shall not come except the man of sin be revealed. And I think that we're going to go, that's not Jesus.
Amen.
That's not him. Mm-mm. That is the man of sin. We're going to know it. But the rest of the world is going to be turned over to believe a lie. A lot of them already are there. They couldn't wait. They got there ahead of time. Amen? And they're going to lead the other ones in. That's just my little idea. Now you take that and you go to the Scriptures and say, my congregant is an idiot and here's why. And make a video on it. Because they all do. Okay? Or just say, God, if Mike's right, show it to me in this book. That's all you got to do. Okay? And then get your shovel out and get ready because you're going to go on a treasure hunt. Amen? All right. It's fun. Amen? It's fun. You don't even have to get up, go outside to do this. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. I like this phrase in the Bible, incline thine ear. You have to lean in sometimes to hear people. Amen. The older I get, the more I'm leaning. What'd you say? You have to incline your ear. Lean in God's direction so you can hear Him. He said, verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. I'm not looking for gold. I'm not going to go out and mow the grass one day out in the backyard and run over a rock and pull that rock up and oil start shooting up out of the ground like Beverly Hillbillies. Okay? It wouldn't bother me if it happened, but I'm not looking for that. The treasures I'm looking for are right here. And he said, if you'll search for them like you would for a treasure. Let's say that your uncle was a rich, wealthy industrialist, and he died without an heir. And so he left you all of his massive fortune, and he put it in one place, and he put in his will clues as to where it would be. So let's say he's got $50 million in a box somewhere, hidden somewhere in this country. And you knew he had it. Would you not try to take that and try to go find it somewhere? Would you not do that? I'd either do it or I'd hire somebody for $1 million to go do it. Okay? We would seek after this hidden treasure. Who remembers what's his name? String Bean from Hee Haw. This goes back years. Remember String Bean? Remember what happened to him? He got murdered. Why? Because he was post-depression. He lived through the depression when all the banks went bad and people lost all their money. And String Bean, his real name was David Akers. He would never put money in banks. Till the day he died, he didn't put... And his best friend, Lewis Jones, it's Grandpa Jones, his best friend was telling him, String, these banks are different now that all your accounts are insured by the government. If it goes bad, you still get your money. And he wouldn't listen to it. And rumor was that he had money hid inside of his old modest house there, had a cabin, him and his wife, out in the Rocky Mountains there in Tennessee. And there was rumor that he had money hid in there. And when him and his wife came back from doing the Grand Ole Opry one night, and he saw a car out there and the lights on inside the house, and he said, honey, stay here. And he went in there and he had a shotgun right inside the door, and he opened that door and grabbed that shotgun, and those two guys was in there tearing his house apart looking for his money. And they got the shotgun away and killed him. And then when his wife went running in and saw what happened, she went running back out and they shot her in the back out in the front yard. They caught those guys and went to prison. Okay? They tore down String Bean's house 2 years ago. They found disintegrated remains of $30,000 inside the walls of that house. It was there. Okay? And they were going to steal it. That's a long story. Listen back to the Word. Amen? Now you know the rest of the story. He said, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. He said, you've got to seek it. Search for it. You're not going to get it all in one day. But think about this. Think about you're on a treasure hunt, and the treasure is a long way away from you. But every clue that you find is in itself a priceless treasure. Because that's what happens when you're searching the Scriptures. I cannot begin to tell you the number of times I've been sitting down trying to do some research for a Watchman broadcast or a sermon or something, and I'd say, God, I don't know what this is. God, would you please show me this? And on the road to finding out what I was looking for, I'd find something else, and I'd be going, well, forget that, Lord. Let's spend some time here for a while. I'd make a video out of that. I cannot tell you the number of times that's happened. That is the silliest bell I've ever heard in my life. Let me finish this. He said, if you'll search for her for hidden treasures, on your journey of searching for wisdom, God will give you priceless treasures on the way. I promise you. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's where your treasures are. So what did Jesus teach us about our treasures? Yeah, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. That's in the verses, but we're not there yet. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be. If I was doing what I'm doing to gain the world's treasures, you'd know about it. Because my heart would be where that treasure is. And God's people who have a little discernment because they have the Word of God, they would see right through me. You would say, that man is not leading us to the Lord. He is working for earthly gain, earthly benefit, earthly promise. Okay? I spend a vast majority of my time having fun searching the Word of God. I hate to call it labor, but that's what the Bible calls it. But I have a lot of fun doing that. And I'm just telling you, this is the greatest treasure hunt that you've ever been on, is to find little nuggets of unseen things inside this book that our forefathers have handled for years. And I find things and I see things and I just go, God, you're absolutely amazing. This book is right. Amen.